Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
And Delaney out, Arnold in this morning, a late change there, and great to have Steve as part of the review hour. As I first of all welcome in Dean Lester. Good morning to you, Dean.
Yeah, good morning, Warren.
How did you find yesterday?
I found it a challenging day at Sandown. I mean, we found the established pattern. It was then finding who was going to find those spots, and the punters certainly did. You just had Gavin Bedgood on, and Sir Callahad was probably the talking point with regard to the pattern for the day. He was the plunge horse, but enjoyed the day. I think Brisbane, which we'll obviously touch on, three feature horses up there that'll be significant players in the spring, probably just cemented their places with three very good wins.
Great to have Steve Arnold with us this morning. Good morning to you, Steve.
Morning, Warren. Morning, Dino.
Now, last time we had you on, Steve, there's terrific feedback every time we have you as part of the panel, and you're writing a little bit of work just to keep the people who are very interested in your career post being a Group 1 winning rider. What are you up to at the moment?
Yes, I'll write a bit of work at Flemington for Chris Waller from about 4 to 8, and then I go out to Macedon Lodge for Lloyd Williams and do a little bit out there as well. So that keeps me pretty busy, and I've got three boys and a family, so that keeps me busy as well. And also doing a little bit of the sort of mentoring side of things with a couple of jockeys. So, really enjoying that at the moment.
It's becoming a factor. Well documented that James Winks has got into that. How have you adapted to that phase in your life?
Yeah, it was just James doing it quite full on. When I come back from Mauritius, just a couple of the guys just asked me to give them a bit of a hand with a couple of things, and I enjoy it. So a couple of younger guys coming through their career, if I can sort of try and give them a bit of a hand. Sometimes it's when you're sort of removed from it a little bit, it's a little bit easier to see some things. You know, sometimes when you're really entrenched in it, you probably miss a few things. So it's good to be slightly removed, I think.
Yeah, great to get an update on that, and I'm sure it would be valuable mentoring that you're providing. A stable that you had a great association with during your career, Steve, was the Mike Moroney stable, and he lined up Tafani in the Stradbroke yesterday.
400 metres marker. Apache Chase the leader from Saboteur at Sell. Running home is Emerald Kingdom down the outside. Weaving through Vega 1 and Tafane down the outside. Victorum runs home as well. And also subpoenaed out deeper. Vega 1, Emerald Kingdom. Tafane's on the outside. Tafane, Vega 1. Tafane, Vega 1 from subpoenaed. Tafane, Vega 1. Flashing late, Mr. Quickie. But Tafane! Tafane's won the Stradbroke from Vega 1. Senor Ray Fox, I think, third ahead of Mr.
Craig Williams, Dino, at Eagle Farm yesterday. How did you see the Stradbroke?
Yeah, he certainly had a day out, Craig, and I think probably his decision to stay up there during the lockdown has been very fortuitous. I think Damien Oliver was probably in line for this ride, but Craig snapped it up, and Tafane. I think she's a fascinating horse because she's got a terrific record, but her record when she gets beyond 1,200 metres is now looking outstanding. I think it's three goes for two Group 1 wins and that placing in the BRC sprint recently. So, heard Rupert Lee earlier say that they might explore avenues further. I think certainly 1,600 maybe of something like the Empire Rose in the spring wouldn't be beyond her, and in the short term, the Tats Tiara, but she did a great job. Vega 1, you couldn't see two more contrasting runs than his run in the Kingsford Smith, where he was last virtually at the 200. Once he sprung the gates yesterday, Rachel King had very little option but to take up that spot, and he was very close in the run, and typical handicap behind that, Mr. Quickie back towards the inside. I thought the Harrovian was a bit of a hard luck story. He was just building his momentum and got stopped, and he just doesn't seem as though he's a sort of horse that can stop and start. But, it was a tremendous race, and it is the iconic Queensland race.
You noted in the stewards' report, Dean, the Harrovian disappointed for a run between the 400 and the 150, a crucial stage of the race. Steve, your thoughts on the Stradbroke?
Yeah, Craig Williams, he just gets it right, doesn't he, a lot in those big races. And as Dino said, Tafane, I'd say I had it wrong a little bit early on. I thought she was a bit of a run-on sprinter because she can be quite keen in her races. But I think those big sort of like big handicaps and that, there's enough pressure on in those races just to have it going smoothly enough that she runs those trips. So, yeah, as Dino says, a record over a bit further is even better. So I probably got that one wrong. But it was probably that crucial stage in the race where Craig, he was in the three deep line and had Glenn Voss inside him on the Harrogan. And Voss tried to edge off, and you seen Craig just had to row along for a couple of strides just to hold that spot. And that sort of made the difference. After that, Craig, I thought, had a beautiful, smooth run through. And Glenn just got held up. You know, if he could have got off that into that spot, it was just those sliding door moments where Craig held his spot and got that run, and Glenn was slightly held up.
Chatting to Mike Moroney earlier this morning, Steve, and Craig Williams was in contact with him during the week in preparation, and he actually drew him a speed map of where the horses are going to be. Was that ever part of your preparation, just doing little drawings and sending them to trainers?
Wouldn't have thought I did it quite as forensically as Craig does it, but he leaves no stone unturned, does he, Craig? He's a real professional, and as I say, he just gets it right in the big races. He wins them often, and you know he's able to ride them lightweight, so that's a help also.
Big ride from Craig Williams to Farnie, taking out her second Group 1, one of the features at Eagle Farm yesterday. The other Group 1 was for the two-year-olds over 1,600 metres, and Converge was heavily backed.
400 just in front. Volcanic Rock here from Overman. Subterranean. Next one there, switching back towards the inside, is Overpass. Here's Converge down the outside, finishing strongly. Shortly afterward, Converge have broken clear here. Fruitgalas, Invincible Tears, Tiger of Malay. Subterranean's over on the inside, but Converge is well clear near the line, and Converge will romp home the Atkins. Converge by 3 seconds of photo. Up there was Yanis, Tiger of Malay, Invincible Tears.
Great result for Adrian Bott and his family, heavily involved in Converge. Steve, your thoughts on the race?
Yeah, he was able just to lob into a nice spot, wasn't he? Give it a nice, just tucked in behind the speed early, was three parts back in the run, and just had, he switched off nicely and just had that nice, as I say, smooth run through the first half. And then when the run started to come, he was able to get into the 3-4-4 deep line and start his run. Pretty relentless. He's only a little fella, but got a real relentless sort of stride on him, and see at the 200 metre mark, he actually switches onto a fresh lead, and then he's really strong all the way to the line. So, yeah, really strong win, and obviously a good future in store for him.
He was heavily backed, Dino. How did that race line up to your eye?
Yeah, well, it was an extraordinary run, of course, as we spoke about in the sires 2 weeks ago, and yesterday he drew a better gate. Not that he raced a lot closer, but he was midfield, but it wasn't a Waterhouse Bot really aggressive ride. It was just a controlled position, and Tim Clark owned that race, and I think he's got a lot of faith in this horse. And I heard Caitlin Mellion on the Channel 7 coverage say yesterday he'd been flying up there virtually every second day to make sure he was okay between runs and do the work with him. So he's put a lot of effort into making sure the horse was right, and yesterday they got the Group 1. And as Steve said, he's a little horse, but he gallops out like a lot bigger horse, and that's always I think a great sign. He had a significant margin over the rest, so I think he's a bit of a star that's emerged, because he was okay in the autumn in Sydney, but he's got better with racing.
A forgive for Port Louis, Dino, a horse that we've been following closely, but he's pulled up with a degree of lameness in the near foreleg and coughing, so perhaps enough for now for Port Louis, who'll require a veterinary clearance prior to racing again.
Yeah, well, the form showed you there wasn't that much between him and Converge, but yesterday it was totally out of character, and he just didn't perform.
Adrian Bott indicating a bit of an open book in terms of what might be an option for Converge. He even mentioned a Cox Plate. Dean, what's your expectation about the level of that performance yesterday and where it might take him?
Yeah, that's what I thought he might say. I think it's a good time to have a go. I mean, we saw the Cox Plate favourite up there yesterday, and we don't know what international travel are, but a good three-year-old we know is always competitive, and he's looking like a good three-year-old, you know, for the future, at the end of his two-year-old season, getting strong.
He's heading to a Cox Plate. If he does, he's going to have to take on Zaki, who once again dominated yesterday.
At the 400 metres marker, Zaki's quickly alongside Reloaded. Holmesman runs on. Further back to Natoya. Next one there was Brandenburg, but Zaki the leader. Holmesman's a length and a half away. Then Brandenburg and Paths of Glory runs home, but Zaki at the 150 is racing clear. 3 lengths in front from Holmesman. Paths of Glory plugs away with Brandenburg. It's too good again, Zaki. And Zaki down the line wins it well. Zaki by a length and a half. Holmesman second. Photo third.
We had in the Doomben Cup, Dino, but still a dominant win. What did you make of Zaki yesterday? Zaki dominating at the Q22. Dino, how did you line him up yesterday?
Yeah, I just thought he got the job done, Warren. That was about it. It wasn't run at the frantic speed that the race was run at in the Doomben Cup, but James McDonald, I think he was just about to go when actually Hugh Bowman made the move on Reloaded, and that dragged him into the race, and then Holmesman came in on the back of them, and it was a good race, but Zaki had them well covered. I thought Holmesman ran absolutely to his best and was a good run, and Paths of Glory's got that form where he actually beat Zaki, so it was no shock that he got into the money at a big price. He's a terrific old horse, ran really well. Brandenburg was a more controlled gallop for him than the Doomben Cup, and he ran a good race. And Natoya Warning, they were a fair way off the pace. That four really did break right away.
What have you made of the way Zaki's progressing this preparation, Steve?
Yeah, he looks a very good horse, obviously, doesn't he? You know, he's the talk of the town at the moment. Little bit of a messy run race yesterday. Like, he's good from the stalls, which is great in those weight for age races where he can take a spot. He got a spot he wanted early, and then, you know, the tempo come off, and he was happy for Reloaded to roll around and take it up so then he could sit outside the leader. But I just didn't think he got that perfect rhythm, whereas in a more fluent sort of race where they go a nice strong gallop, he gets in a nicer rhythm, and he's probably more dominant. Or, you know, in saying that, he was dominant yesterday and got the job done. But I just think he likes that nice even tempo where he can get his rhythm.
As a favourite early markets for a Cox Plate, you've won a Cox Plate. Does he look a Cox Plate style of horse to you?
Well, he does. Yeah, he sort of, as I say, he can park up where they want to put him, and he quickens. And, you know, he's got a nice big action where he's, as I say, he's got that bit of a relentless action where he can sustain a gallop, which is, that's a key to winning that race. I think if he can sustain that gallop, which is also the case with, the last horse, Converge, we were talking about, I think he's got that nice gallop where he can sustain. So those two are obviously going to be big chances in the spring.
Yeah, Dino, we probably don't need to be betting into a Cox Plate market just now, but where would you have Zaki put sitting in your thoughts?
Oh, very highly, and I think he's only going to get better. And as Steve said, he's going to improve in a stronger run race than yesterday. And that rhythm was so evident in the Doomben Cup and not so yesterday, but he still won. Steve, you've had a fair bit to do with Holmesman. I thought probably that's as well as he could go. He seemed to travel well in the run and make the move to Zaki, but he just ground it out as honestly as he does.
Yeah, what a great horse he's been. He's probably not I wouldn't say underrated, but his record's pretty good. I think he's won two Group Ones and got beaten a Caulfield Cup bob of the head. So his record's pretty good. And as you say, he hasn't got any great turn of foot. But when Jai rolled around and just made a bit of a test from the 400, you know, he tries his heart out. So yeah, he's been a great horse for the Williams team.
I know you're watching from afar, Steve, but just your insight into how you've seen the Eagle Farm track playing.
Yeah, I sort of mainly watched it yesterday, but it seems to race quite fairly. I see they don't run, they don't seem to run super times, you know, the last 600 and that, so it's obviously got a bit of give in it, but seems to be racing fairly. You know, they can race on pace or come from back, so seems to be racing quite fairly.
One of the stars of the show, albeit away from the Group 1s and the feature of the Q22 yesterday at Eagle Farm, was Ayrton getting out to 1,600 metres for the first time in the Gunsin Classic.
In the 400, we've got Ellsberg, Magic Conqueror. Here's Ayrton chiming in on the outside. Star Rose, the run timer as well. Further back to Easy Campese, but Ayrton's taken over. Ellsberg can't match him. Further back to down the outside, Glitterstrip running home. And then we've got Star Rose, but Ayrton's looking the goods. A length and a half clear from Ellsberg, and kept going. Ayrton bounces back today. Ayrton's won well from Ellsberg and third to Montbuster.
What did you make of that win, Steve?
Yeah, he's obviously another horse with a really nice action. You know, when he extends and quickens, he's really got a classy action. From gate one, which can be a little bit of a problem on, you know, short price favourite, smallish field, he sort of lobbed into the box seat. Well, I thought that was good from James. He didn't try and force and stir the horse up. He just let him get into his rhythm because he looked like he can be a little strong. So he sort of got box seat, and then it was quite helpful that Ellsberg, Timmy Clark, didn't quite get into the one-off spot outside him, so he was exposed there for a while and then decided to go on. And once he went on, it broke the field up and James was able to get into that running line, went off the fence, and then it was race over.
he was expected to win Dino, although $1.75, he wasn't probably as short as he could have been in some markets. What did you make of Ayrton yesterday?
Yeah, there was a little bit of a knockabout on him yesterday morning, whether he was actually looking for the 1600 off that fast run race, but he got into that beautiful rhythm that Steve mentioned, and it's so important for these horses as they're learning and progressing, and he did the job very nicely. Had a little bit of feedback through Caitlin Mellon what James McDonald thought of him, and he said he's got a lot of improvement to come, and he's still very raw, and didn't think that he'd really want to push beyond a mile in the next preparation, which means that maybe the Golden Eagle, which it looks a really achievable race for him, maybe as a four-year-old. So he's very good. I thought Ellsberg was terrific because, as Steve explained, he had to do a fair bit of work in the middle stages of the race to get to that spot, and I thought he grounded out well, and he'd been running, he'd ran well against the older horses prior to that, and he ran well in a Hawkesbury Guineas. I think he's a progressive horse, having won a South Pacific over the Randwick Carnival. So he's a horse that'll probably, match motors again towards something like the Golden Eagle if that's the path Ayrton takes. I'm pretty sure that's the path that a horse like Ellsberg would take.
Talked about it being a terrific day for Craig Williams, Dino, and Brooklyn Hustle getting the money in the last down the outside. Just one via the SMS, just asking your thoughts on that race and the performance of Odium.
Yeah, well, Odium was a terrific run and a bit unlucky. But Brooklyn Hustle, I mean, she was virtually last at the 200-metre mark. And just, well, we know she's got a big finishing burst, but unimpeded yesterday and really hit the line well. The Evergreen Madame Rouge, who on this day last year ran a placing in the Stradbroke, she ran really well, and they'll all meet again in the Tats Tiara. I think Odium and Brooklyn Hustle are really good chances, and under the weight for age, Odium will meet Brooklyn Hustle better at the weight. So, no, it'll be, I think that was a good lead-in towards the Tats Tiara. You add the Stradbroke form in through Tafane, and it's shaping as a genuine good Group 1 mares race.
Do you have a thought on that race with Brooklyn Hustle and Odium, Steve?
Yeah, just got a great turn of foot, as Dino said, and Craig was happy to get right to the outside and give her plenty of clear air, but when she gets that right scenario, really, really great turn of foot and finish strongly. Maybe a couple unlucky, but when you're on a back marker like that, they deserve to have some luck sometime because they sort of get plenty of bad luck. So happy to see a win.
Great days racing at Eagle Farm yesterday, the Stradbroke, the JJ Atkins, the Group 1s. There was racing at Sandown on the Hillside Circuit. We'll turn our attention to that meeting after this break.
By the 300, led the way. Ranveer's ahead away and striking up on the outside now to take the front. Then came getting into the clear behind those along the river, and Al Heidi wide out running on, but Ranveer race for home at the 100, and Ranveer is coming away with a little bit of quality in hand. He's going to win it well. Al Heidi got up a length away to run second from Rambo, Vin Largo, and then Mimosas.
Well, probably not a lot evident in the first, Dino, out of the shoot of a pattern that was to evolve during the day, but what did you make of the way the first was run?
Yeah, well, it wasn't a bad win by Ranveer. He'd come off two very soft trials, and I was interested that Matt Laurie in the pre-race and again in the post-race said that was his worry on testing ground. And when he began a bit awkwardly, it wasn't ideal, but he quickly mustered speed and had a really good ally in Rambo, who had good speed to lead the field and probably carted him through the main part of the pack. And he won well enough, I think. You know, we can trust the form line because he'd run well to Profiteer. I really like the second filly, Al Heidi. I thought, one, she presented, like a really nice, strong filly in the yard, and I love the way she ran. And then you look at the scheme of the day where out wide it was very hard to make ground, and she did that. And, I sort of implore people doing reviews of this meeting, watch racing.com and especially the Stewards Vision, and you can get a guide on which horses were probably out too wide, and she was out wider on the track. I thought she ran really well and has got a future bunch finish behind that, but I think the first two are going places.
A lot of excuses for Hurtle in the Stewards report after copping some interference early and playing up in the barriers. So some excuses there. Steve, how did you see the first?
Yeah, well, even Ranveer, Warren got a little bit tense and stirred up in the barriers. You could see he was sort of full of energy and inexperience at a horse. It's a bit of a challenge for him sometimes just to sort of contain their energy. But he's a really nice horse. He's got a lovely action. Didn't step that well after being a bit anxious in the barriers, as I said, but I thought it was a clever ride from Ben Mellum. You know, he's a confident rider, and the trap sometimes is when they don't begin that well is to give him a sort of a, be a bit aggressive, but he just let him slide through. And he was still on the bridle, so if he had to give him a kick, he might have overdone it, not quite finished off as well. So he slid through and got into that good spot, protected his ground one off the fence, and then, you know, he quickened nicely at the top of the running, and he, although getting a bit tired late, as you expect, I liked his action. It looks a nice horse, and as Dino said, the run of our Heidi was great and sort of got better as the day went on.
Heavy 9 up to a heavy 8 later in the day, Steve. You've ridden on these tracks and it became evident there was a leader bias. How do you explain the way the track played yesterday?
I'm not really sure, Warren. Obviously, out there walking it, sometimes you get a bit of a feel of it when you walk it, but I don't think anyone really had that feel early on. So, obviously, I'm not sure if it was inside was quicker. Obviously, the inside was quicker, but whether it was firmer from the top of the running in the straight was firm. I'm not sure, because that can happen sometimes where the ones on the inside get the firmer ground first and they get away and you can't run them down. So I don't know if that was the case or it was just quicker on the inside. I'm not sure, but it became evident that it was pretty hard to make ground, and it's not as nice to watch when you sort of when it's just all the leaders, is it?
And Craig from Keilor via the SMS, a regular contributor, Dean's expressed that type of view, that it took away his enjoyment from yesterday. Did you see that type of pattern coming, Dino? How do you rationalise it?
By about race 3, it was starting to become apparent, Warren. The second race, the On Paces and Nordic Pride did a bit of work, and Mr. Moosh admittedly had a sweet run, and we'll touch on these races, but you could just see it building. And I think then, when Chassis won race 4, ridden a bit closer, but closer to the inside, and you look at the barrier draws ultimately dominating, and it wasn't a surprise, probably no effort winning in that pattern, but yeah, it was certainly a pattern evolving, and you can just sort of, you get a sense for it that the races are stringing out, and it's, you know, even if they're going hard, it's nothing's making ground, and it was evident by about race 3, it was on the cards.
Two was out to 2,400 metres, and Mr. Moose appreciated that rising trip.
As they come towards the bend, the favourite's going to need a miracle here. Swinging for home now at the 500 metres mark. Nordic Pride going after Sign Seal Deliver as they come down the dip. Two lengths away, running into it, flickered over. Mr. Moosh looking for room. Hostar on the fence. Then came Sannon. Shakespeare's cluttered away back third last. Going up, Nordic Pride's hit the front from Sign Seal Deliver. Hostar gets up on the fence and Mr. Moosh chimes in four wide from further back is flickered over. The leader is Nordic Pride, but Mr. Moosh on the outside with the lightweight, the little bloke took the front, running on well as flickered over with Hostar, but drawing clear near home is Mr. Moosh, and he's going to win from Nordic Pride, Sennon, and flickered over.
Oh, prepared at Massena Lodge. Steve might be able to give a bit of an insight into Mr. Moosh. Steve, how did you see his win yesterday?
Yeah, he's a real genuine. He's not a big horse, as you would see, but he's a really genuine little fella, and he was building to that. I thought his runs were pretty good building up, and key, I suppose, wet ground, draws low, 52.5 kilos with a in-form Will Price. It's a pretty good recipe, I think. And he didn't surrender too early. You know, there was a bit of pressure coming across, but he sort of held that spot. And when there's a row coming across, you can sort of hold with confidence that you're going to get cover because, you know, a couple continue on. And with that light weight, you might as well sort of hold your spot a little bit. And he held that spot and just had a beautiful run into the race. He just had a little bit of traffic at the top of running, but I thought he held his poise good. He didn't overcommit to inside or outside. Flick it over had just done a bit of work three deep on the circle and was always going to fade. So I thought he held his nerve well and just got that gap when he needed it. And as I say, Mr. Moosh, he's a real genuine little fella and hit the line strongly.
The way the pattern of the day evolved, Steve, Shakespeare was probably going to be up against it from that wider draw with his style. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, it was a forgive, you know. I know you guys will be doing the form and you'll probably have to put a pen through quite a few of them. I sort of didn't know that was a pattern at the stage, but obviously after you do the races, you know, well back in the field, hard to make ground.
Its report figures a bit about Shakespeare. Dino held up for clear running from the 500 to the 300. How did you see the overall race?
Yeah, I thought it was a really sweet ride by Will Price, as Steve mentioned, and the dynamics of it early. You could just see that wall coming across, and he was always going to be able to use them, and just had to get through at the right time. Ben Brisbane's done an amazing job with Nordic Pride. He's another really good run. I thought that the Statesman getting ready to go back over jumps was terrific. Royal Crown, given the way the day panned out, was pretty good. And that's where I probably thought that Shakespeare was a forgive run, but those two were out probably where he was, and they actually went to the line a little bit better than him. And probably the other disappointment might have been Sight and Seal Deliver, who, given how the day was playing out, maybe went a bit hard, but maybe getting towards the end of it, I'm not sure. But certainly the winner had been building to that and got the right run yesterday.
Demuj taking out race two, courtesy of a sweet ride from Will Price over 2,400 metres, 1,300 metres the distance for race three. Luke Curry was aboard Comica for Michael Kent.
It's Divine Miss M down the dip, down by the 450, leading the way. Comica ranging up a neck away. Two lengths back is Diamonds, the outside quietly discreet. Then came We Go Bam, and Retrovase not in the picture at the moment. Moving up Comica with Diamonds going after it. Divine Miss M fighting back the fence, and Bubbly Lass is starting to run on well, but Divine Miss M is now headed on the outside by Comica. Coming at the pair is Diamonds. Comica in front of Diamonds. Bubbly Lass flying, can't get there. In front, Comica. Comica wins at a half neck on the line. To Bubbly Lass.
Thoughts here, Dane?
I thought smart ride from Luke Curry. Comica was always going to be on pace, but just she got attacked last start, and I just wondered if that run might have taken a bit off her, but she actually probably built off that run. Miss Divine M led her and gave a sight for a fair way. Diamonds had a beautiful run behind them, was given every possible chance, and Bubbly Lass was good down the outside. Retrovase, we heard yesterday morning Michael Kent say she might have had a little bit of a setback, and then given how the day panned out, it was a forgive run. Electric Bell was a forgive run. There's probably a few out wide that ran well. Divine Diosa was the one that really ran through the line well, and she's probably back on track after a series of runs that you didn't know where she was quite at, but I thought that run probably really sets her up to go on at her next start. But Comica did a good job to fight them off.
When you're talking about forgive runs, Dean, and putting a pen through runs, so to speak, so if you're doing a form for a meeting down the track and a horse who was in a position here that was disadvantaged the way the track's playing, how do you then assess that horse? Do you look at previous form and just almost forget that race was run? How do you go about it?
And it's not necessarily that they're all backmarkers either, Warren. It's just that when they hooked out into the, hooked out four or five wide to make their runs, they just seemed to, really struggle to get motivated, and the inside horses kept kicking. So I think Steve makes a really valid point that often those on paces get onto that, if it was a bit firmer, onto the firmer ground earlier, and certainly that was the advantage. So a horse like Divine Diosa, I think the way it got out late and hit the line, I sort of want to be with it. But if Sensationalisation, Retrovase, Electric Bell, to name three, Sweet 16 even, if any of them come out at their next start and won, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Michael Kent explained after the race on racing.com, Dean, that the way Luke Curry used the bend and accelerated at the right time, is that what you say? You effectively almost stretch the gap between yourself and the horses chasing?
And, the lead, as opposed to last time where there was high pressure at Flemington and she had to really work, the lead or on pace was up for grabs in this race. And he probably also learnt from the race before with Royal Crown, although he couldn't do anything about it with Royal Crown because he's a backmarker, but probably saw that, the inside was so good that Comica was going to be well advantaged, kicking at the right time. And, it was a good piece of riding, but that's what you come to expect from Luke Curry.
How did you read this, Steve?
Yeah, from a sort of a jockey's point of view, a couple of good rides. I thought, as Dino explained, Luke Curry was a really good ride. I thought, you look at it and think, I just sat outside the leader, but it was smart from the first 50 metres. He just smooth. He wasn't too aggressive. He just rolled across. He knew Miss Divine M was going to take it up, and he could sort of just take his time down that long back straight to set up his spot outside the leader, and he took all that time. Joe Bowditch was a really nice ride too on Diamonds. I thought just use that lender to come across and then tuck into the box seat. So a couple of really good rides there, I thought, from Luke Curry and Joe Bowditch.
Curry taking out race three. We get to race four, and Chassis was at big odds. Damien Thornton aboard for John Price.
up the running. Little Stevie, the leader, with a kick in the locker. Led by two lengths on La Richesse and Chassis. Two lengths to Palmy. Immersement making ground. Barbie Sprocks from a minute back in the field. Little Stevie's getting tired and Chassis mowing it down. Barbie Sprocks is coming at a million miles an hour, but Chassis hit the lead from Little Stevie. Barbie Sprocks late, but Chassis in front and back to her best today. Chassis wins from Little Stevie in the fast finishing Barbie Sprocks. Then Sulphur.
How did you see this race unfold, Steve?
Yeah, obviously, I thought a really good ride from Damien Thornton, and you could just see that, you know, pattern really starting to emerge. Little Stevie went along, I thought he went along pretty firm and pulled a bit, and he was still able to give a good kick and hold on. But Chassis just had that nice run nearer the fence, although a couple of lengths off them, nearer the fence, and was able just to suck up around the corner and obviously just finish strongly, but just had that, you know, the ideal run for the track, I suppose, and a couple, Barbie's Fox, I thought was a good effort to finish.
Dino Damien via the SMS has congratulated you for having Chassis in his black book from a recommendation last year. Unfortunately, Damien didn't back Chassis yesterday, but it was a horse that you identified some time ago, Dino. Probably a different preparation, but how did you see her performance yesterday?
Yeah, I've lost that black book, Warren, that's for sure. It's a while ago now. She got in the great spot and proactive riding. She's often been a horse that used to get her very keen in her races, and they had to ride her a bit negatively, but she landed in a spot where she was comfortable and not overdoing it. And, you know, she got the right run through. As Steve said, Little Stevie had a good kick using the advantage of the day. La Richesse peaked on her run at about the 200. But the run of Barbie's Fox, she's had some bad luck in her career in another day where it was, you know, she's a backmarker, so that is a bit of a problem, but it was a tremendous run given the scheme of the day. And I think High Excalibration, Jerome Hunter's got his team going beautifully, and this run was very good also.
Probably needs wet ground, Barbie's Fox, to run to her best, Dean. But as you referenced, on the circumstance of the day, there's some horses that you're going to forgive, but there's some horses that you might even give an extra bonus to the way they performed.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, a few that probably, you know, should have performed a bit better given that they were advantaged. And I would say that they would have gone away disappointed with, say, La Richesse. But a run like Barbie's Fox, High Excalibration were good, and the Stylist was fairly poor by her standards yesterday too. Even though she was wide, gave up pretty quickly.
Terrific day for Gavin Bedgood and Carlene Heffel. No Effort was the first leg of a double in race five.
From No Effort as they turn the corner at the 500. No Effort got away by two lengths for Millie, who lugged on the bend. Down the dip, three lengths away. Then came behind those, making up some ground, was Mongolian Marshall. Then came Bedford, who's brought to the outside. He's starting to make up ground from Spring Choice. No Effort's four lengths in front. Down by the 200 metres mark, leading the way. Mongolian Marshall. Bedford starting to warm up, but he's got a mighty job to do because No Effort's in a mile lead. Leads by four lengths, three lengths, two lengths. Bedford is charging home, but No Effort's in front. She knows where the post is, and she'll find it first. One and a half length to Bedford, four away, Mongolian Marshals.
Well, first leg of a double, Dino, and I'll talk to you about Gavin Bedgood. I know a guy you've known for a long time a little bit later. Firstly, the win of No Effort yesterday, how did you see that?
Oh, she's a terrific mare, and when, you know, that last run, when Surreal Image was in the race, she just couldn't get the race to dictate terms, and fortunately for Gavin and the connections involved, all those high pressure horses like Vungas and Surreal Image and that have gone to the Swan Hill Cup, and she got the run in front. Vroomly sort of was a bit fresh and raced keenly and was up serving it up to her, but given the day and with the lightweight, used the advantage as well. Behind that, Bedford was terrific. It was apparent by this stage of the day that it was going to be harder for him to win, hence he was a drifter. I think Mongolian Marshall ran well. I think Spring Choice ran very well. He'd obviously missed the run because of being a late scratching when it had a track upgrade a few weeks back, and he just looked a bit hot and a bit, you know, fresh behind the gates yesterday. So I think just a day at the races again will serve him well. All honours with the way that they used the day for No Effort.
You've known Gavin Bedgood for a long time. Race horses with him now. What did you make of his day yesterday?
I was thrilled for Gav. No one Deserves it more, really. He works very hard, and as all the trainers do, but his communications are fantastic as an owner and a couple of horses there, and he really puts a lot of thought and a lot of effort into it, and to maximise his results yesterday was great to see, and you know, a mare like No Effort that he took over, you know, probably when, you know, Alan Cooper had done such a magnificent job with her, winning those five races in a row, to get a couple more wins out of a Traralgon Cup and then again a Saturday win yesterday. He's really done a great job.
How do you see this race, Steve?
Yeah, obviously, you know, with a few of the scratchings, No Effort really became the only leader, although didn't get a picnic in front. Was sort of made work a little bit, rolled along, but that, you know, recipe of 51 kilograms on the wet grounds, a pretty good one, and obviously rolled along at a pretty good clip, and well done to Carlene Heffer. Was a great effort, you know, a double on a Saturday's a great effort. Bedford obviously from back, you know, it's probably a bit frustrating for the punters going in that, you know, you're probably at a disadvantage, but you sort of sometimes can't ride back markers any differently, and he obviously got balanced up and back in the field, and it's always going to be difficult for him to swoop wide and win. So I thought it was a good effort.
Stuart spoke to Declan Bates about Bedford, and he sort of outlined as much, Steve, in that he started to urge him along from the 700-metre mark, and from where he was obviously left with a fair bit to do. But as you said, Steve, if you've got a horse who's got that pattern like Bedford, it is difficult, I suppose, to then try and ride him into a more forward spot just because of the pattern. Do some horses just not respond to that, or then perhaps not perform as well at the back end of the race if you ride them that way?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't know the horse, but obviously some just need to be given a chance through the first half of the race. And they also, they didn't go slow, so it's not as if they went slow and he could have parked him up a bit close. They actually went, you know, looked at a pretty nice gallop, so... Yeah, a lot of them have to get comfortable to finish off, and that's what he had to do. I suppose yesterday, if you're on a back marker, maybe you would have a plan that you would think, look, we can't win going around them, so if we're back, ride for luck, just stay in, ride for luck. If you get the luck, you might run well, but I don't think when you're back and going around, it sort of made it quite difficult.
Needed for falls in race six was riding the speed with Damien Lane aboard for Mick Kent, making up a double.
Then came Sakoot down the outside, and Ruby Sky, best of the rest, falls front runner. Turidan flatters attack on the outside, trying to get the falls, who kicked away. Battling away strongly is Savahid, and further back in the field, gun down, but it's all falls. He's in full cry at the 100 metres mark. Three lengths the lead. They can't get near falls, and falls is making an absolute demolition job of them. He's going to win it brilliantly. Turidan kicked back to run second from Savahid, and wide out on the track...
Dominant win on speed here. Steve, how did you see this race?
It's probably, it's getting hard to explain about the leaders, isn't it? But I thought Damien Lane, if you watch him, he's beautiful from the barriers. One of the better jockeys out the barriers. I know it might be a thing that's sort of zoned in on, but he's always beautiful from the barriers. Plenty of rein and comes out, never comes out on that mouth. He's perfect from the stalls. Him and Jamie Carr are probably the best two riders I've seen for a while at the barriers, and he got falls out beautifully, and just, you know, with that on-pace bias, just rolled along at a nice speed and kicked and give nothing else a chance. Turidan and Sabah, he run well under the circumstances, I thought.
So if we're trying to focus on that a little bit, Steve, just wanting to drill down on that, if we're trying to educate ourselves about that, if you're watching horses out of the barrier, what did you specifically notice about, say, Damien Lane and Jamie Carr and what they do early in a race?
So there's no, if you watch them from the stalls, I suppose an easy way to put it, there's no restriction on the horse from the stalls. They come out without restriction. There's no bouncing or, you know, touching their mouth or anything like that. And I think that's probably the easiest way to say it, how smooth and no restriction out the barriers.
Falls leading with Damien Lane aboard, and Steve Arnold giving us a great insight into what he sees when they leave the barriers, having been on them, Dino, as Steve is. It's great to get that type of insight. How did you see this race?
Yeah, certainly. Look, the lead was always going to be Falls, and as the day wore on, it was going to, you know, he was going to be very hard to beat. I always had a little query about him running a strong mile, but he's had a lot of racing now and where he's often had stops and starts through his preparation. And I read with interest that Mick Kemp wants to get him over further. So that's what you don't know from the outside when you're trying to assess them. But he got a pretty cozy time in front. And if he was ever going to run a mile really strongly, given the nature of the day, he certainly got that. Turidan and Savaheat made honest chases. The ones that were out wide that probably wasn't ideal was Sakut, Relucent. They chased honestly. Neither of them, you know, went out of turn, especially Relucent, but they ran okay. And Blue Ocean, he just bombed the start, and then he had Ruby Sky get up inside him and never really got into a great rhythm. And in recent runs, that's been the key to him. He can over-race Blue Ocean, and I think yesterday he just didn't get into that really good stride rhythm, and it just, you know, takes away from your performance. Forget about the track bias. He just wasn't quite on song yesterday.
Ben Allen indicating as much in the stewards report, Dean, that he thought that Blue Ocean raced flat. So that would coincide with what you're outlining, Dean.
Yeah, I hadn't read that, but you can tell when horses are on or off, Steve. But you know, often by their mannerisms in a race, and it was evident probably at the halfway that Blue Ocean just wasn't getting into that rhythm that was going to allow him to finish off.
You notice that, Steve, sometimes when you're on a horse, you think it might not be, when you know the horse well, that you can tell that it's perhaps in for an off day?
Yeah, for sure. I think, a horse can be stirred up. As long as that's their routine, it's fine. You know, I think it's the difference in how they present, if there's a difference in their routine, if they're a bit hot one day and not the next. So you can get those little, inklings going in that there might be something off, but yeah, just never looked comfortable in the run, that horse, and didn't finish.
Dean, one from Ross via the SMS, just following on from the point that Steve made about getting out of the barriers, and Ross remembers you mentioning there's a few jockeys that you're very glowing in the way that they do get the horses out of the barriers, as Steve's outlined with Damien Lane and Jamie Carr. Can you remember that conversation? And if you can, the jockeys that you thought did that best?
Yeah, I think it was on the back of Jamie Carr's success. We were talking about great barrier technique, I think, not that long ago. And Jamie Carr, Damien Lane, I think Mark Zara got a beautiful barrier technique. And what Steve says is that they virtually come out not on their mouths at all. So they're on a loose rein, and they virtually come up through the reins, and then they gradually take their hold so that they then get the stride length and get the rhythm of the horse where the horse is happy, rather than trying to dictate to the horse what the jockey wants to do. So it's it's a great synergy when it's on, and we often see when a horse is fighting and throwing its head around, it's not the prettiest of watches. So it is that fine line, and guys like Damien Lane and Mark Zara and of course Jamie Carr, they're the ones that I think get it right the best.
Damien Lane doing it to T aboard Falls, leading all the way. Rinse, repeat. Saradek went to the front in race 7.
And last of all, as they turn the bend and being ridden along a little bit then, as they come around the corner, is Standoff, Homeward Bound, and Saradek kicked away, led by 2 lengths. On going after him is Fact. 2 or 3 lengths further back in the field, Liberati. They were followed by Inca Dinka, and Making Ground, Reliable Dirt, and Visualising Best of the rest. Saradek's going strongly. Fact's over 2 lengths away, but it's Saradek's race to lose at the 200. 2 lengths further back, Liberati Visualising, Seb Song's Making Gown, but Saradek's well clear. It's about 3 in front of Liberati and running on Reliable Dude. Saradek getting tied near home, staggers to the post and won it by 3/4. Second to Liberati from Reliable Dude.
Well, I think at this stage, Dino, Sir Callahan was firming even further for the next race the way this was playing out. What did you see here?
Yeah, well, the only thing I got right was on the online we mentioned that Saradek would be the leader. Well, we got that part right, and he ultimately was the winner. Just kept going as the theme of the day we've mentioned. Literati tried hard, Reliable Dude tried hard. I thought Seb Song ran quite well. He's not far off a win, but they came in at long intervals here, and I was really keen on this race going in. We've seen his express, but not so afterwards. Warren, the stewards report, explains what happened to him.
Was detected post-race with Cena's Express, and the stewards will require him to gallop with the results of an ECG prior to racing again. So perhaps a forgive, Dean, but also the way the race panned out was probably never going to suit him.
never going to suit him, but having a regular heart rhythm certainly wasn't going to suit him. So I think we can put him well and truly in a forgive file.
Can you tell us about this race, Steve?
Yeah, obviously rolled along for Dean Holland. He's riding well, I think, Dean Holland. I think he's doing a bit of work with James Winks. And I think in the last few months, he's riding really well, working hard, so deserves to have some luck. And he rolled along at a nice speed on a lambing runner who, you know, always has him very fit. Kicked at the right time, I thought, just kicked down that dip and set up the win from there. I thought Seb Song was a bit of an eye-catcher from the back, you know, under the circumstances.
Seb Song, perhaps an eye-catcher and seen as Express a forgive, pulling up with a veteran issue. Sir Callahad was heavily backed from big odds in race 8.
To Altai Ranger, Sig Positano a length back. Further back in the field, Defiant Dancer and Segalas, who bumped from Mamoudi Bay, and Arkham Knight brought to the outside from Wilmot Pass. Sir Callahad, the one they put the money on, sprinted for home. At the 400, he's three lengths in front of battling away Altai Ranger. Further out on the track, Arkham Knight running on, but Sir Callahad's a universe in front. He leads by four lengths on moving to second position. Arkham Knight, Wilmot Pass running on, but the big plunge coming off here. $21 into $5, and Sir Callahad is streaking them, beats them out of sight. Wilmot Pass got up the run second from Arkham Knight. Altai.
Steve, unfortunately, I'm going to have to ask you how another leader won.
Yeah, I thought it was actually quite smart from Carlene. She didn't try, and, you know, the temptation, I suppose, is probably to go too slow, you know, when you've got a leader, but just the way the day was setting up and down, she can take that claim, so it gets down with 51.5. Kilograms on that ground. You know, it's smart to really use that and roll along from a fair way out and set up that lead and just give no other horse a chance, I suppose, from a fair way out. I thought Arkham Knight did a good job. He was three out with cover, but just exposed around that corner and actually sprinted really well, I thought, and probably peaked late just after doing that work on that, slower ground out there. But actually quickened well, and I would say one to keep an eye on going forward.
Thoughts here, Dean?
Yeah, well, I thought if there was going to be a race where there'd be perhaps a switch around, this might be it, because you had Elsvin, Sir Callahad and Altai Ranger, but when Altai Ranger came back, and as Steve said, I think really smart riding by Carlene Heffel here, that she used the time to break Elsvin. Altai Ranger couldn't get up to her shoulder, and she was away and gone. As Steve mentioned, Arkham Knight had to get around Cigarless and really sprinted quickly, but when horses sprint quickly, then that gasses them right out. He just couldn't go through his gears. He sort of went from first to sixth really quickly, but then peaked on his run. I thought his run was okay, but you know, just a good placement, dropping 10 kilos on his last run, and people that don't take weights into account on wet tracks, it's dangerous, because these are the days that the lightweights get really advantaged, and I thought he was really good. I thought back in the field, Kalashani Lad was okay. We know he's a bit of a Pakenham specialist, and Sandown specialist, he wasn't too bad.
Zipping Boy was down on the weights in the last, and he was heavily back to start favourite with Will Price aboard.
Zipping Boy is the front runner at the 400 metres mark, being niggled along. Express Pass two lengths away from Great Again, making up some ground Forever Free. Zipping Boy's got a fight on his hands. Reuben Blur's getting through, and I Am Someone from the back. Zipping Boy forward on Express Pass at the 120, trying to get to him. Express Pass driving it to Zipping Boy. Express Pass and Zipping Boy. Reuben Blur flying. Zipping Boy a nose on the line to Express Pass and Reuben Blur. Close up, I Am Someone. Behind those, Forever Free.
Three horses across the line. Dino, well down in the weights on the wet track. How did you read the last?
Yeah, can I just clarify? It was Ballet Master I meant to mention in that previous race, Warren, not Kalashani Lad. Had the wrong horse circled. He's just got a great winning manner about him, Zipping Boy. He can dig in for the fight. And if you want a good wet track breed, Squamosas are the breed. They just love it, and he goes on anything, but he excels on soft ground. I thought Express Pass had him probably two or three times and just couldn't quite peg him back. I think Reuben Blur ran well, and I Am Someone ran very well there. There was no real surprise that the inside draws were well advantaged in this race, because going into the race, they looked the right form horses, but then they were probably on the best ground, so it really worked out well. And then a horse like the Centurion got taken off the rail on straightening by Ashlaw, so they were probably in the inferior ground, so forgive runs there. But, yeah, I think I'm someone. I think Matt Laurie's starting to win the battle with that horse. I thought his run was encouraging yesterday.
What did you take out of the last, Steve?
Yeah, obviously apprentices to the fore again with those claims. Zipping Boy obviously used his speed, and as Dino said, wet track. He's got that real wet track and knee action where he gets up out of the ground, and obviously pretty quick. So Will Price used that speed to advantage, give a good kick, and just really tough through the line. You know, must be nice and fit and strong through the line. I thought it was a pretty smart ride, Lockie King. Obviously, he was a Ruben Bird, a bit of a back marker, but he was smart enough to, which I thought was a good play for the day. If you're on a back marker, you stayed in, you know, stayed in a bit, sort of tried to cut through and got cut the margin to, I don't know, probably half a length or a long neck late. So I thought that was a pretty clever ride by Lockie King.
You mentioned apprentices to the fore, and that was the case, Steve. But in Adelaide yesterday, and Dean, I'll bring you in on this as well, Jacob Opperman with a five-timer and Rhys Jaynes with a four-timer at Randwick. It's obviously the time of year where apprentices can flourish. But, Steve, I'll start with you. Five-timer for apprentice Jacob Opperman at Morpheville on the Parks track. A terrific day for him.
Yeah, great. I didn't watch much of Morpheville, but I've seen the results today. And, yeah, well, obviously, yeah. A real career highlight for him, and he's riding well. I see he had a ride in the Derby a couple of months ago, and it's obviously highly regarded over there. And I've watched a little bit of him, and yeah, he's a really talented young guy. So that's a great start for him. And yeah, Rhys Jaynes, he's not going to have any problems with his weight. He's a little guy, and he's doing great things over there. I think he's only just bursting onto the scene, but to ride four winners in Sydney is a pretty good effort.
On those two performances, Dean?
Yeah, I thought, Jacob Opperman was tremendous, and he's building a great record in Adelaide. But Rhys Jaynes hadn't ridden a treble before yesterday, and then to ride four on the day at Randwick was tremendous. And what we were talking about only a couple of minutes ago about barrier technique, we saw Rhys Jaynes to the fore last week, or I think it was last week, the last race where he flew the start and won the race in the first 50 metres. Yeah, he's got that about him that he can win a race pretty early, and I like the way he goes about it, and he's right again then on a horse like Opacity, who hasn't won for a year, I think nearly to the day, and he was having a bit of a wander around about the 100, and he got the horse motivated again and enough to get him over the line.
Approaching the time where Matt Nevitt's going to take the microphone for Sunday Central. Let's get the boys' runs of the day and horses to follow before we sign off.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
And Dino, we'll kick it off with you.
Yeah, well, look, I'm going to go Interstate Warren for the run of the day. I think that Eagle Farm provided some real highlights, but none more so than Converge and the JJ Atkins. I really love the way he's improving with every run, so I make him the run of the day. And my horse to follow is out of race one at Sandown yesterday. I think Our Heidi's a really smart filly. Didn't see a win yesterday, but we'll see a win pretty soon.
I know that the Swan Hill Carnival's very close to your heart, Dino. Is there anything that you've got an eye on either at Swan Hill or Edenhope today?
We'll be online for Swan Hill Cup about 10 minutes prior to each race, but I'm going to the Cup. I think Harry Coffey can fulfil probably a career dream and win the Cup on Zach Az.
And just letting the listeners know, we're not actually running a Saturday panel with a public holiday tomorrow with the Mornington meeting. It'll be just standard Monday format there. Dino, have you looked at anything at Mornington? You worked that far ahead yet?
No, I'll be working on that this afternoon, Warren. So, I can't help you, but I'm sure I'll be listening to your preview tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Thanks, Dino. Thanks for all your help this morning, and good luck at Swan Hill this afternoon online.
Thank you, Warren.
Steve, great to have you as part of the coverage this morning. How do you wrap up yesterday?
Yeah, well, I haven't been looking at Dino's notes, but my run of the day was Our Heidi. I thought it was a great effort. And as the day went on, it got better and better. So I thought it was a great effort. And Converge was actually my one to follow, because I just think he could be an emerging star into the spring this season. So there are a couple of good ones going forward, I think.
Great to have you as part of the coverage, Steve. Look forward to when we have you back next, and good luck with your work heading on with the mentoring of the riders, the work with the Waller Stable and up at Macedon Lodge. Sounds like you've got a pretty full dance card at the moment.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Warren. Thanks very much for that. And good luck to all the punters.
Well received again by the SMS. Great to have Steve as part of the coverage. Converge was my run of the day at Eagle Farm, and I thought Express Pass in the last, maybe just a narrow defeat, but ridden to be in the right part of the track. I think Nick Ryan stable flying, and there might be another win for Express Pass sometime soon. My horse to follow out of racing around Australia yesterday with Converge, the run of the day. That takes us out for Correct Weight this morning. Plenty to come with Matt Nevitt on Sunday Central. Harry White will be previewing the Swan Hill meeting straight after the break. John Ralph will bring us up with all the AFL news and plenty more to come. Harry White's also going to look at the meeting at Eden Hope. So stay tuned on RSN 927. Matt Nevitt to take us through Sunday Central after this.